Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Sunday Roast.
Welcome to the Sunday Roast with me, Joe Plum. Join us. Join us all. Me, Robbie, and Charlotte Rice. As we look back at the week's fake news, alternative facts, and crazy cat stories, along with local music, top-notch guests, a non-stop banterino. Essentially, the bits of your Facebook feed that you slow your never-ending scroll to oblivion for.
Coming up on the Sunday Roast podcast.
Get from London to Manchester quick as a sneeze.
The Sunday Roast.
This is a Sunday Roast. And joining me in the studio today, we have the man who knows everything. The man with all the answers. The man with a brain so big, it is seeping out of his thin skull and leaking a little bit onto the studio floor. A man who has a greater understanding of the workings of the planet than the population of Arrowton combined. Please give it up for Professor Robbie Gwinnett.
Thank you.
How are you feeling today, Robbie?
I'm well.
Good.
I'm healthy.
Well, I mean, well and healthy, two things I'm really, really keen on hearing from all of my co-hosts today. Talking of well and healthy, on my other right, please, we are honoured to be joined by the woman who single-handedly writes the word nice into all of the nice biscuits. She did used to
with
do Bourbons.
With a tiny chisel.
Yeah, a tiny chisel. She used to do Bourbons, but she couldn't keep up with the new time pressures and has moved to the other factory. Charlotte Rice, everybody.
Hello.
Now, exciting news. I know it's only, it's still only January.
It is.
But, 2018 feels like it's nearly halfway there, doesn't it?
I know.
But it's not. Less than a 12th has passed, to be precise. But it's an exciting time because people start to announce festival excitement. And
do they?
I don't know about you, Rob.
Yeah.
You seem like a brainy man.
Okay.
But I'm a big fan of BBC Radio... not BBC Radio 4, BBC 4.
Right. I mean, don't knock BBC Radio 4.
I would never knock BBC Radio 4. Hopefully, the home of Joe Plum soon.
Soon.
I mean, one day soon.
Now, Vectis with his Radio, own show. Tomorrow,
BBC Radio 4.
Yeah.
But on BBC 4, there was a documentary on Friday night about John Giddings,
right,
friend of the show, who was talking all about his about festivals and the joy of festivals. Well, another festival, not just the Isle of Wight Festival, is occurring on the Isle of Wight this year. Do you know what festival that is, Rob?
I've got no idea what.
What about you, Charlotte Rice? Do you know what festival this is?
I do, but I've just actually forgotten the name.
Okay, it's called Eclectica.
Right.
It was here last year to replace Bestival in an attempt by Robin Hill to make the Isle of Wight really, really despise it.
How did that
But happen? Successfully, this year, they've completely changed their whole tact and
right.
have actually come up with quite a good lineup, which is really
well,
making people go,
start.
Actually, I really quite like this idea. Well done. Or I think I might go to this festival. Right. The lineup already included the Fratellis, Italian, I assume, Top Loader, Scouting for Goes. Scouting for Girls.
I thought you said Scouting for Goats.
What a tribute band. And then now they've just announced Friday. They announced Saturday and Sunday first.
Who's playing
Friday? Would you like to know who's playing?
Yeah.
Reggie Yates doing a DJ set. Reggie Yates off of Phone Cotton and Reggie Yates off the radio.
Off of Reggie Yates.
And Tinchy Strider, the tiniest man in hip-hop.
Yeah.
Or Grime.
Is he the one that sung a song about risk it for a biscuit?
Probably. I'll tell you
actually,
what song...
no, I think that might have been Tiny Temper.
Okay, just because they're all short.
Why do all rappers insist on being small?
This is why I'll never make it in the Grime scene.
Why do they make it such a big part of their identity as well?
I know.
Do you reckon I could be a rapper?
Yeah. Yep. Well... Tinchy Strider, sometimes they do. Tinchy Winchy Strider. Climbed up the water.
Tinchy Winchy Strider climbed up the water spout.
Well, Tinch. They do like those.
That's very familiar.
They do like mashups, and they like, well, not mashups, because they like get some people to feature on their records because they can't just sing on their own because they can't sing most of them. So obviously Titch did a massive collab with some legends, and I want you to see if you can tell me.
Oh, how exciting!
Who they are collaborating with. So this is Titchy Starley and some special guests.
Hello.
Hello.
Wait. I swear you're the Chuckle Brothers. You must be
Barry.
And he's
Paul.
Nah, something's weird. Where's your letters?
In the van. Go get him, Barry.
What now?
Yeah, just a minute. Where's Tinchy?
It isn't.
It is.
Oh yeah, it's me. Look up there. There's a leak. You're exactly the pair I need. Now wait, in fact, let me ask one question.
One question?
Just one. I respect you both to the welcome here, but who or what really brought you here?
The creme de la cream. Oh,
Paul and Bazza.
They're featuring with Titchy Strider, who you never know. You know, sometimes at a festival, the headliners, they bring out some special guests.
Yeah.
We all remember Jay-Z and Kanye West at the festival.
That was so good. Like,
the Chuckle Brothers went through this strange sort of renaissance a couple of years ago where they were in the public imagination again.
I mean, they were at the Mayflower doing Christmas Panto. Oh, literally, it's not beyond anyone's wildest imaginations that they could actually come to Eclectica as special guests. Surprise special guests, is it?
No, I reckon...
It's not impossible.
I think if there's a big enough campaign online, they definitely will.
I mean, do we really
do we want them?
I mean, that's another deeper question. Aim for another time.
Does anyone ever really want the Chuckle Brothers, or are they just there?
The Sunday Roast!
I'm going to just wait a couple of seconds whilst my fellow co-hosts, Charlotte Rice and Robbie Gwinnett, come back from making their cups of tea.
Hello!
Which sadly today is missing one key, quite vital ingredient.
There's no milk!
Milk. I mean, actually, of all of the key ingredients of making a tea, probably the most kind of the one that you can get rid of, dispensable. Isn't it really?
What, the milk?
Yeah. If you had to, I mean, water or a tea bag, probably more fundamental, aren't they?
you know, you get coffee. Oh, all right. You get the different types of coffee where it's mostly milk or foamed milk. Could you do it with tea? Could you boil up milk?
I'll have a tea latte, please, Karen.
Oh,
just a coconut milk, if you can, please. I'll go lactose free for February.
Yeah. I don't know. Has anyone ever tried it?
No, I've never tried it.
I'm going to try it.
Tea latte. A chai tea latte, but it's not quite the same.
It's not tea, though, is it?
We could ask friend of the show, Kinga, if it's possible, because she knows.
Yeah, we could ask.
Who obviously works at the Piano Cafe in Freshwater.
Yeah.
Whether she would make us a special tea latte.
Because she's a barista.
And bring it into the show.
By hand.
It's quite a way from me.
Just a walk.
Maybe we get her a flask.
Yeah. A thermos.
So
she just has to carry.
Oh, yeah, no public transport.
Now, can we talk about something quite relatively serious?
Yes.
Stealing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's not funny. It's so serious.
It's not, is it? Right. Some of those things where you're not really supposed to take it, but you sort of can, aren't they? But
yeah.
They're like frowned upon stealing more than arrestable stealing.
So not like taking the little conditioners in a hotel.
I mean, that's frowned upon, isn't it?
But yeah, it's not. But it's not stealing.
The salt, yes, the salt shaker. No.
The salt shaker is a no. But the salt is a yes.
Do you not remember that from Friends? When Ross steals all that stuff from the hotel.
And he says that the salt...
The salt shaker, no. But the salt, yes.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. What is the no-no-no's and the yes-yes-yes of the stealing world? Because obviously we know that, like, if you can sort of pinch a magazine from a dentist, potentially...
Can you?
Even though it says dentist written in pen.
And it's probably about 3 months old, yeah. but...
An Argos pen.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe a glass from a pub. Which is frowned upon.
Every Argos store must just have rooms full of pens.
Well, Jamie Oliver, he's apparently a chef.
He works for Argos.
Friend of the show.
He is a friend of the show. He said last year that his restaurant chain, Jamie Oliver's Italian, was losing money because people kept stealing his Jamie Oliver napkins. Because they got Jamie Oliver sewn into them.
Well...
surely just provide people with normal napkins. No one's going to steal one if it doesn't have Jamie Oliver.
Right, you guys need to pack it in now. You've got to...
We had a bit of a case at the piano where teaspoons went missing. We were down to about 10.
That's ridiculous.
I know. We actually just found out it was Emily Scadgell who lives...
Dobberin.
...lives at the back.
Well, don't name and shame.
This is on the radio.
Snitches get stitches, Charlotte.
Right, so there are...
she's in Australia,
there are things that you sort of do still... the frowned upon versus the completely no-nos. Well, this week, some people have gone for the worst possible thing you could steal. Have you heard about this story? On the Isle of Wight.
My heart.
Close, Robbie.
Oh, OK.
Incredibly, insanely close.
A dog.
No, you are closer with a heart.
Well, a dog is quite close.
Another vital organ.
It's vital. And it helps the heart.
Blood?
A pacemaker.
Close, so close.
An ECG machine.
So, no, go for even more, like, it works on the same level, similar level as an ECG machine. If you're an absolute dire need, you're having a heart attack, what would you need?
A defibrillator.
People are genuinely have stolen one in Cowes and East Cowes.
Why?
What are they using them for?
This is insane. Who in their right mind think is going to steal one of these? And what purpose? Like, who goes, oh, I know what I'd really like. I just really need a defibrillator.
Well, you know, Aunt Sally said she did want a defibrillator for Christmas. And you just can't buy them for love nor money.
Who goes out and steals them? The thing, and just takes it home and thinks, oh, I'll have this.
Yes,
I mean, it was just lying there on the wall in the middle of a community centre.
Just got to hope they use it on themselves and stop their own hearts.
But it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And we at the Sunday Roast condone this behaviour, don't we?
Wholeheartedly.
give it back.
Yeah, give it back.
Just give them back.
Because it is insane and ridiculous.
It is.
And we thoroughly... So we will join the campaign to restore these. And stop, like one went from Cowes Chiropractic Clinic earlier on this week. And then another one's gone from East Cowes yesterday.
You're going to have to start chaining them to the wall, aren't they? Mm. Like those pens in banks.
Which then makes it not being able to be used. Because the point is that you could just take it off the wall.
Just lift
you should just be able to trust people to not steal defibrillators.
You should.
Robbie, have you ever stolen anything?
Not to my knowledge.
Good. What about you, Charlotte Rice?
I steal socks.
From where?
Just like, if I go around someone's house and I ask to borrow a pair of socks because my feet get cold.
Why are you borrowing a pair of socks? I mean, when does it go from borrowing to stealing?
It's just when I don't give them back.
Do you intend on giving them back when you leave with them?
Well... depends how nice the socks are, really. I once did, and this is actually, I was upset when I realised what I'd done. I stole a Milky Bar from Little Co-op in Freshwater once, going back a few years. I didn't mean to, though. It was a complete accident. Me and my friend Rebecca went to go and buy some sweets, and I picked up a Milky Bar, and then we were walking around the shop, and I was like, where's that Milky Bar gone? I must have put it back. So I picked up another one, paid for it, ate it, was walking home.
It's in my hand!
In my clothes, but I put my hands in my pocket.
Oh, you shoplifter.
But obviously you went back the next day and you paid for the Milky Bar, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I gave them 15p.
That's Well done.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they, when Milky Bars cost 15p.
And Freddo's were only 5p.
You're looking more like 25, 30 these days. See, people talk about inflation, Joe. They talk about the credit crunch and the recession. Oh, house prices have gone mad. Look at confectionery. That's what I say.
It's insane.
It's insane. I remember, right, this is no word of a lie.
Can't really call them penny sweets anymore,
no word
can
of a
you?
Lie. Sweet shop near me used to have these big jelly snakes. They were delicious. They were 10p. I was in there last year, 50p.
Oh, you're
where else
large.
In the world?
A snake?
A big jelly snake.
50p.
Where else in the world?
Why haven't wages this is inflation increased on, is to the same level as Freddo's?
On the same level as Zimbabwe. It won't be long before you have to bring wheelbarrows full of £5 notes to go out with a shrimp or one of those little bananas.
The Sunday Roast.
Oh, Mr. Medicine, I need my vitamins, but I feel better then.
Eliza Doolittle there with a song called Mr. Medicine, or as we call them here in the United Kingdom, Doctors. and on the theme of doctors, yeah, it's winter flu season. Yay! What are you wearing in winter flu season?
Jumper.
Hey. Well, this is my favourite time of the year because it brings one of my favourite things. Public
illness.
Service.
Oh.
Announcements. Where members of the public service who work at County Hall, etc., get to come out of their offices to make statements about things to do with sneezing. And I absolutely love it. And this week it went...
Sorry.
You all right?
Absolutely fine.
Maybe you need a public service announcement about you. Councillor Claire Mosdale, friend of the show...
Oh, you're right, Claire.
Who is also very important to mention during this point. She is a recipient of the flu jab.
Oh, Claire's calling in.
I think she is calling in.
Actually, that's not true. She's going to say, I did not get the flu jab. I wasn't eligible.
And she's Cabinet Minister for Adult Social Care and Public Health. She was given the honour and privilege of teaching islanders how to blow their noses. But she was also encouraging people to get the flu jab. And as a massive guilt trip, said that 77% of the population who feel fine right now are the problem. Essentially,
it sounds like a threat.
It is the 77% fault.
It's the healthy ones that I've got the real problem with.
She says, many people don't get vaccinated because they never get ill and don't think they have flu. But 77% of people with the virus have no symptoms. It means you feel okay, have the virus, and then pass it on to others who will fall ill.
I got flu last year.
This puts the elderly and those with long-term health conditions particularly at risk. So, essentially, if you're in the 77% of people who, unlike Charlotte Rice, do just randomly don't get the flu, it's your fault that old people are getting ill.
See, yeah, Robbie.
Found the solution to that. I just don't leave the house.
Good clap.
You can't infect anyone if you don't see anyone, can you?
This is true.
Wise words.
So I think that actually we should really be targeting the 23%, shouldn't we, of the
old
people?
Stop being ill. Stop it. It's not hard. You go most of your life without being ill, hopefully. Just do what the 77% of us do and commit fully.
With no symptoms.
With no symptoms.
They still get the flu.
Oh, yeah, they've got it.
I had the flu last year as well, Charlotte Rice.
Did you know what?
Didn't show a single symptom. Because I'm not weak.
He was riddled with flu, he was, but he powered through it.
Didn't show a single symptom.
Pulled himself up by his bootstraps.
That is. But obviously, you know, get the flu jab. It helps.
If you like.
Charlotte Rice, if you're sneezing, what's the worst thing that can happen to you?
I think the worst thing that could possibly happen if you're sneezing is rupturing a hole through your...
What?
Throat.
Throat.
Do you want to hear this story?
Yeah.
So,
they're swallowing a very sharp crisp at the time.
There was a man who was trying to stifle a loud or untimely sneeze. And so he grabs his nose.
Oh, no.
And shuts his mouth.
And all that pressure had nowhere to go.
It went a little bit crazy. There was described as a popping sensation in his swollen neck. And
see,
the 34-year-old ruptured his neck.
When I read the story, I thought that he'd blown a hole through his throat.
I guess it probably went,
to release the sneeze. So obviously I was...
He's just ruptured it's
something out of Alien.
So a doctor has said, when you sneeze, air comes out of you at about 150 miles per hour. 150 miles per hour, Rob? Did you know that?
Quite quick, there.
That's a scientific fact.
Quite quick.
Well, that's gone in a flash, isn't it?
That is insanely fast.
That's faster than stealth at Fort Park.
There you go. You sneeze, breaking news, you sneeze faster than stealth.
See, that's how they're advertising the new high speed railway. Faster than a sneeze.
Essentially, it's just a load of Conservative cabinet ministers at the back of a train sneezing with loads of pepper underneath their noses trying to get the car moving fast.
Get from London to Manchester quick as a sneeze.
Dr. Anthony Amat, Director for Ear, Nose and Throat Services at London University of Hospital, Lewisham, who was not involved in the case, very important to mention.
He's an independent observer.
He is. Says, if you retain all that pressure, it could do a lot of damage and you could end up like the Michelin man with all your dress inside your body. Can you imagine going, walking in because you're...
What's wrong with you, Joe? Oh, I just haven't had a sneeze this week.
Don't hold it in. It doesn't matter how long tone it is, you don't want that to happen. Oh, the things we learn on this show. Yeah. It's facts, non-stop facts.
The Sunday Roast.